in a spiritual sense, but it was a tool that was given to Israel to hear from God. It actually, almost every time that King David, centuries after Exodus 28, King David, every time he goes to make a decision, he says to the priest, bring the ephod. Bring the breastplate, because I need to hear from God. Should I go to war or should I not? Should I stay or should I go? If I stay, there will be trouble. If I go, there will be double. Right? So should I go to war or should I not? And he asked God, because the priest was wearing the ephod. And in the ephod were two other things that we don't really know what they were. Okay, so I'm going to read a couple verses here. So let's start in verse 28 of chapter 28 of Exodus. The rings of the breastpiece are to be tied to the rings of the ephod with a blue cord, connecting it to the waistband so that the breastpiece will not swing out from the ephod. Whenever Aaron enters the holy place, so that was, there was the most holy place where the Ark of the Covenant was, and then the holy place where the table of showbread and the incense altar of incense, and you know those things, right? So whenever Aaron enters the holy place, he will bear the names of the sons of Israel. Those were on the breastpiece. The names of the sons of Israel over his heart on the breastpiece of decision as a continual memorial before the Lord. So the breastpiece of decision. This was an instrument that God gave the Israelites so they could know what to do. Wouldn't that be easy? Just go ask the priest and he'll tell you, he'll give you the answer. Right? Do I take this job or don't I? Just go ask the priest. Also, put the Urim and the Thummim in the breastpiece so they may be over Aaron's heart whenever he enters the presence of the Lord. Thus Aaron will always bear the names making decisions for the Israelites over his heart before the Lord. The Urim and the Thummim, we don't know what they were, but they were instruments. It's suggested that maybe they were like almost like dice or something, but somehow they would use these devices to get an answer, yes or no, from God. And so if you needed an answer on a decision, you would go to the priest. The priest would put on the ephod, and he would use the Urim and the Thummim and somehow discern God's will for you. That sounds great, doesn't it?
And you don't have one
I don't. They didn't hand them out at ordination. I don't know. But we know that what God has given us by his Holy Spirit in the New Testament far outshines what the Israelites had access to in the Old Testament. So your ability to hear from God can be far superior to going to the priest and getting a yes or no. That's God's intention for us, that we would be people who hear his voice. God speaks. And so the priests, that was the priests and the prophets, would also get words from God that they would speak to individuals, they would speak to kings, they would speak to nations, and prophets would hear from God. And so these two offices in the Old Testament were given to the people of Israel because God wanted to make sure that we were able to hear him. God is a communicator. Jesus, moving to the New Testament, Jesus expects that we will recognize his voice. John chapter 10, I want to read three verses from John chapter 10, four verses. Starting in verse 3, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and that we're just jumping in midstream here, but the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep. The shepherd calls his own sheep by name. Jesus had said, I am the good shepherd. Okay, so that's what he's talking about. The shepherd calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Because people who are trapped in religion do not expect to have an encounter with the living God. I've heard stories like this from the Middle East, where there are still many, many shepherds today that look after sheep. And I read one story of a journalist who was traveling in the Middle East, and he observed this happen, and he saw there was a well at the bottom of a kind of a valley, and at certain time of day he watched as three different shepherds came down from different over the hill from different areas, and they had been feeding their sheep and leading their sheep from to pasture, and they came down the hill, and they met at the well, and they're having a conversation, and their sheep come down, and there's hundreds of sheep at the bottom of this valley, and the shepherds are just talking together, He's watching all this happen, and then the shepherds finish their conversation, and one goes off this way, and one goes off this way, and one goes off this way, and they just, as they go, they're just calling out as they go. And this mass of hundreds of sheep, they just separate out, and these sheep go this way, and these sheep go this way, and these sheep go this way. And he was just amazed. Because he's watching all this, and he's thinking, how are these shepherds going to know whose sheep are whose? It's just a mass of confusion, a mass of sheep. And yet, when they called out, the sheep knew their shepherd's voice. And when they called out and walked up the hill, those sheep knew to follow that shepherd, right? And that's the very thing Jesus had in mind when he said, my sheep know my voice. And they follow me, and they will not follow a stranger because they do not know his voice. Right? And I think there are three things that I think Jesus is saying here. And that is, first of all, my sheep know my voice. I think, first of all, Jesus expects or anticipates that his sheep, the people who follow him, will recognize that he is speaking. Will recognize that he is speaking. I think that not only will we recognize that he is speaking, but we will know how to understand what he is saying. It's one thing to know God's presence, and he's with me, and he's doing something, but I'm not sure what. But it's another thing to actually know what is he saying to me. What is he speaking into my heart right now? What am I supposed to know in this situation, in this circumstance, when I'm walking through this? What is it God wants me to know, hear, and learn in this moment? Right? And and that we will be able to discern his voice from other voices. So how many know in this day and age, we have sounds coming at us from every direction. We have noise and stuff and, you know, overwhelming stimulus coming at us from every direction. And we have, you know, if you want anyone to tell you what you should do with your life, everyone will be willing to tell you.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's no short list. There's a long list of people who are ready to tell you what to do with your life. And so we need to be able to zero in and hear what is Jesus saying to me. Not what is, you know, my friends say, what are my friends saying, my relatives saying, my enemies saying, even my pastor saying, what is the preacher on YouTube saying, but what is Jesus saying to me in this situation? It's vital. And so, I really believe Jesus. And it takes time, doesn't it? It takes time and experience to learn to tune our ears to the frequency of his voice. I mean, if you didn't know me and I was calling you up, you know, I just called you up out of the blue and I just said, "Hey, how's it going?" You'd say, "Hey, who are you and what do you want?" Right? What are you trying to sell me?
Yeah.
Right? But if I called you every day for a month, you'd say, first of all, who's this stalker, right? But you'd learn to hear, you'd recognize, so by the second week in, as soon as I say, "Hey, how's it going?" You're going to know who's talking. You're going to know who's on the other end of the phone, right? It takes time, it takes experience to learn to tune into the frequency of Jesus' voice. As Pam said at the beginning, we in this room, we want to be led by the Spirit. It's our desire, it's our heart to be led by the Spirit. This whole school of the Spirit is about us learning how to be led by the Spirit in the things that we do, in the ministries that we do. You know, Romans, one of the verses we've talked about in this school of the Spirit over the last couple months is this verse, Romans 8:14. "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. He wants us to be led by His Spirit. In order to be led by the Spirit, we need to learn to hear the Spirit, don't we? Right? To be led by the Spirit, we need to learn to hear the Spirit. I visited, sat and visited with Ruth yesterday. First chance we were away at conference right after she got back from her surgery. So yesterday was the first chance I had to go and sit with her and chatted with her a bit, and I told her I was gonna share this with you tonight. But it was just I love Ruth's heart to really, she just desires to be used by the Lord, that God would flow through her life to touch the lives of people around her. And so, for those who don't know, and probably most of you do, that she had open heart surgery a week and 3 days ago to have a valve replaced in her heart, in her physical heart. When I say I appreciate her heart, I don't necessarily mean her physical heart. I mean her heart. So she had been, her surgery date had been, you know, she'd missed a phone call and her surgery date had been bumped. And, you know, just, she was, kind of waiting for that call and so on. And she said people had asked her, you must be anxious and frustrated, waiting for that call. And she said, no, I know that when the Lord's timing is right, he's going to have a second reason why I'm going to St. John. And he's going to have people for me to minister to and opportunities for me to touch people's lives. And when it's the right moment and the right people, he's going to set it up and it's all going to be. And so she shared about the people she'd, coincidentally, air quotes, people she'd bumped into and had conversations with and had opportunities to encourage and minister to, and just how God, flowed through her life and all of that, right? And I thought that's just a great example of where we all need to live, right? Is just anticipating every day that God wants to flow through our lives, that every day is an adventure of being led, empowered, that the Spirit of God flows through our lives. And so if we're going to be people who are led by the Spirit of God, we need to learn to hear his voice. Galatians 5:25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So in those moments, as we're looking, for God to flow through our lives, it's like every day we just want to, okay, God, I want to stay in step with you, right? I don't want to get out of step. I don't want to fall behind you. I don't want to jump ahead of you. I want to stay in step with you because I know wherever you lead me, you're going to have opportunities for my life to count for your kingdom, right? Good. So just some really basic stuff tonight to look at the fact that God wants to speak to us. So what I want to do for next few moments is I want us to brainstorm a little bit about how does God speak to us. As we look in the scriptures, first of all, as we look in the scriptures, just from your memory of things that you know, stories you've read from the scriptures and things, what are some of the ways that God in history, that God in scripture speaks to his people? Through the word, okay? So through the Bible. Through his people. Burning bush, a donkey, yeah, through an animal that God supernaturally enabled to speak, kind of crazy, an audible voice, visions, angels, dreams, yeah, visions and dreams are different, they're similar but different, yeah, writing on the wall, okay. Yeah, so miracles and things that happen. Yeah, God is speaking loudly through those, sure. Okay, so through, yeah, so we might call that impressions, right? You're impressed to, I just don't feel at peace. Here's one. God speaks through peace, right? So I don't feel at peace about going home tonight. So I'm, and he maybe protects us from something or whatever. Okay? Well, that's pretty cool. That's good. Yeah. Yeah. So through our circumstances, through discernment, yeah. What do you mean by that? Just kind of a gut feeling. Yeah.
Thinking of doing something or thinking of visiting something.
Sure.
Doing sure. Get that
yeah. Yeah, sure. Somebody over here said through our spouses. Sometimes the voice of God sounds an awful lot like the voice of your spouse. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes. True story. So yeah, I had put just a few on the slide, and I think we got most of them. Maybe prophecies, I don't know if we said that one. Scripture, epiphanies would be like the burning bush or actual appearances of God, like to God appeared to Abraham and so on. Or the writing on the wall would be an epiphany as well. Speaks through the gifts of the Spirit. Yeah, absolutely. So I put voice of the Spirit up there. And that, yeah, that voice of the Spirit thing, I want us to unpack that just a little bit. Again, we're not going to, this is very, you know, kind of starter tonight. But, for example, Paul says in Acts 16, it says that they wanted to go into Asia, but the Spirit wouldn't let them. And then they wanted to go into Mysia and Bithynia, and it says the Spirit of Jesus stopped us. And then they went to Troas, and he had the vision of the man from Macedonia saying, come over and help us, and they went to Macedonia. So what do you think that might have been like, that the Spirit wouldn't let them go into Asia? So somehow the voice of the Spirit let them know that they weren't supposed to go into certain places. So from your experience of the Spirit speaking to you, what we might call the voice of the Spirit, what is that like? We wouldn't necessarily say it's an audible voice. So what is the voice of the Spirit?
I think it's something that's very sudden. And it takes you by surprise or shock.
Okay.
It comes right out of the blue. It has nothing to do with what you're presently doing.
Okay.
And you know that you just got a very strong word or impression.
So very sudden and an impression.
It's very, very intense.
Okay. Very intense.
To be true.
Yeah.
You know,
so it stands out as.
You don't think. You yeah. Know that was God. That
yeah.
Was
okay. So it's very stark. Very.
Stark.
Okay. Butch, you were going to say something? An impression from your heart? Yeah. Yeah, so something that stands out, stark. Yeah. Yeah, so Butch, just for a live stream, I'm trying to repeat what you're saying for our live stream. So. Yeah. So you're led to go speak to a specific person. Now, generally. So in discerning, is this God, is this you? Do you want me to go witness to this person? It's probably not the devil wanting you to go witness to somebody, right? So part of it is even what he's saying to us helps us know that it's Jesus, right? That it's Holy Spirit speaking to us.
It
wasn't an audible voice, but a strong impression. And yeah, so sometimes we might call it an impression, like a heart feeling, like I shouldn't do that or I should do that. There may even be a thought that comes through our mind, and we're very aware that didn't come from me. I didn't just think that up. That there's a reason that popped in my mind, right?
I think it was
Yeah.
Whereas I have experienced like impressions a number of times in my life, and I find that an impression is not as intense, but it will return.
Yeah.
You know, again and again.
Yeah.
And then when you say a prayer about it, then you know God, this is from God.
Yeah.
He's impressing this upon me.
Yeah. Good. So
almost always connected to some kind of action.
Connected to some kind of action, yeah.
Always connected to some kind of action.
Yes.
Sure.
He gets impression over and over and over again.
Yeah. Now I need to do something with it.
God is grace and mercy. He's being patient with us, you know, because he's
coming back and
it's almost always.
And confirming. Like part of that is confirming, you know, if sometimes we lean into something and pray about it, and if it grows in our heart, then it's, you know, we need to pay attention to it. And if it's passing, then, well, maybe I'm just whatever, right? But Suzanne?
Sometimes it's annoying. You just
I thought you said sometimes it's annoying. Well, sometimes when he tells us to do something we don't want to do, sometimes it's annoying, but it's a knowing. It just, you know that you know that you're supposed to do something, okay?
Write it down.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, Marilyn. Okay, if you're going to tell us a quick story, I'm going to get you to put a mic in front of you so I don't have to repeat it.
A number of years ago, when I was working with the Pentecostal Salvation Mission, you know, we have churches throughout the north and whatever.
Yep.
And a call came to Edmonton, away from where I was, saying, you've got so many pastors on your platform. Would you send us one to Holman Island? And so then Edmonton got that message, and so they sent the word to Pentecostal Salvation Mission in Hay River. Okay, so the rumors were going all around. Who's going to be the pastor in Holman? Maybe this one, maybe this one. Oh, Marilyn, she'll go. Yes, I had my Bible school. We were working in ministry already in Hay River, all the people in the mission team or whatever. Not me. I can't do that.
Yeah.
No, I'm a nurse. I'm going to keep on doing this and teach the children whatever. That'll be my job. No, I can't do that. Furthest thing from my mind I'm going to do.
Yeah.
One spring, myself and another person in ministry were looking after the church in Coppermine, which was 200 miles away from the empty church in Holman. Okay? And as clear as a bell, not audible, as clear as a bell, Marilyn, will you go and be the pastor in Holman Island? The end of May. I didn't say a word to anybody.
Yeah.
I didn't answer back.
Yeah.
Say nothing. I thought about May, June, July. First part of July, the mission director of the Sovereign Mission came over to our house and said, we got this call from Holman, and they're looking for a pastor. Would you go up and be the pastor in Holman? Yes.
Yeah.
It was that. And
yeah.
I didn't go for a whole year.
Sure.
While everything was being prepared, obviously inside of me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Finding a place for where I was going to live.
Yeah.
But all kinds of confirmation. I knew beyond a doubt.
Sure.
I was to be the pastor in.
Wow. That's great.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Even though, she'll last 3 months. she can't sing. She can't play. I mean, I was telling myself. I stayed for 9 years.
9 years. Wow. That's great. That's great. Thank you, Marilyn. I appreciate you sharing that. I mean, that lays it all out there from start to finish, what it looked like to hear from God and then have it confirmed and have it reinforced for you and to the point where when the question came, you already knew the answer because God had already spoken to you. Yeah, that's good. Good. So, again, we're going to dig into this probably a little more next week, but We want to activate. That's our word, right? We don't want to just learn stuff. We want to activate. And so what we're going to do, are you able to play that music, or is that going to, should I come up for that? We're going to phase out our live streamers because we're going to our activating time, and